The Gospel of John, chapter 1, begin our reading at verse 19 and read through verse 24. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 in the New King James Version reads, "Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then they said to him, 'Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said. Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees." Those involved in our text are John the Baptizer. Referred to the Baptizer to identify him from other Johns mentioned in the New Testament. He's not John the Baptist, but he is John the Baptizer. Literally, the word Baptist, when you read in the New Testament, is actually the word Baptizer. He's referred to as John the Baptizer because he went about baptizing. But there was others involved in this text. They are the priest and the Levites. The priest and the Levites. The Jews had sent the priest and the Levites. Note that phrase, the Jews sent priest and Levites. The phrase of the Jews is used in different ways in the New Testament. I believe John uses the phrase itself over 70 times in his writings. Most of the time that he uses the phrase the Jews, it actually has reference to the unbelieving Jews, those who were antagonistic toward Christ while he was upon earth, and those who did not believe that he was indeed the Christ, the Son of God. And so the Jews sent priests and Levites. That's the way he's using the term here. But these priests and Levites were sent by the Jews, but who are these Jews? They're identified in the text as the Pharisees. The Pharisees often involved themselves with the teaching of John the Baptizer and Jesus Christ. They were antagonistic to both. On this occasion, these Pharisees, the Jews, the unbelievers, have sent priests and Levites. Priests, of course, are those who serve at the temple or the tabernacle, offering sacrifices. Of course, they would be of the family of Aaron. The Levites, of course, would be of the posterity of Levi, that is, descendants of Levi, who assisted the priest in making the sacrifices, taking care of the temple and the tabernacle. But the Pharisees, the unbelieving Jews on this occasion, has sent this delegation. Now, they may have come from the Sanhedrin itself, or they may have come just simply as those who are involved in the worship of the temple in the city of Jerusalem. But they're wanting to know who John is, because by this time, all Judea, Matthew tells us, and all Jerusalem, that is the people, not everybody, but he uses the phrase all to indicate that a large group of the population of the province of Judea and Jerusalem had gone out to John in the wilderness because he is preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And they're being baptized by him in the Jordan. And so they want to know, being religiously minded people, who John the Baptizer is. Our text says this is the testimony of John. This is the testimony. This is the witness of John the Baptizer. That is, in our context, John is, in a sense, you might say, put in the seat of one who is on trial. And he has to defend himself, and he has to answer to these religious people from Jerusalem in regard to who he is. These religious people from Jerusalem, they've not authorized him to do what he's doing. They want to know who he is. Is he someone that is spoken of in the Old Testament scriptures as one who is to come? Is he the Christ? Is he the Messiah? Is he the prophet? Is he some prophet like Elijah? They want to know who he is. So in our text, six questions are asked. The first four questions that are asked to him that he gives testimony to are responded to in a negative way. And then there are two questions that are asked that he responds to in the affirmative or in a positive way. In our lesson this morning, we want to note John's response to these questions. We began with the primary question, who are you? And then by the time we come to the end of our lesson, we want to make that primary question, we want to make application to ourselves with that question. But for now, who are you, John the Baptizer? Who are you? Well, he says, he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. He confessed. We've studied that word confessed before. Remember, the word in the Greek literally means to say the same thing. So he confessed, but denied and confessed. Same word, confessed again. The word itself, confessed, means to openly and publicly declare or to assert something. What is he publicly declaring and asserting here? Well, he is asserting or affirming or denying, I should say, that he is not the Christ. I confess. I openly and publicly declare and do not deny or deny, but confess, declare, assert, I am not the Christ. Note the emphatic, I am not the Christ. Did they think he was the Christ? What does he mean by I am not the Christ? The Christ is the anointed. In the Old Testament law, three were anointed: prophets, priests, and kings. But the Old Testament also spoke of one whom God would anoint, the one who would be the Messiah. In the New Testament, the anointed is referred to and translated Christ. In the Old Testament, the anointed whom God would send, who would be the Christ, would be the Messiah. The psalmist said in Psalm 2 and in verse 2, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the ruler takes counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Here's the word translated Christ in the New Testament. So God has an anointed one. Who is that anointed one that John denies he is? Well, of course, it is the Christ. In Acts 4 and in verse 27, for truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. So Peter says that Jesus Christ is God's anointed one. As a matter of fact, you note how that is written there. No doubt Peter had in mind Psalm 2 and in verse 2 when he makes mention of this in Acts 4 and verse 27. Yes, the anointed one was the long-awaited Messiah. So these individuals who come from Jerusalem to ask John, who are you? They want to know if you're the anointed one of God, if you're the Messiah whom God was going to send. Daniel speaks of the anointed one, the Messiah, Daniel 9 in verse 25. You know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Note that, until Messiah the Prince. Messiah is the anointed one in the Hebrew. Who's under consideration? You note it's capitalized. It's Jesus Christ who is the Messiah the Prince in this text. When Daniel writes this, the city of Jerusalem is laying in ruins. Remember, Daniel is in Babylon. Daniel is looking far into the future when the city of Jerusalem is going to be rebuilt and re-inhabited, but he's looking way into the future when the Messiah, the Son of God, is going to be put to death and Jerusalem's going to be destroyed again. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. So as Jerusalem lays in ruins, Daniel, looking forward into the future, says it's going to be rebuilt. And I'm looking so far into the future that the Messiah, the Anointed One of God, the Prince, is coming. Verse 26. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. That is, he'll be destroyed. He'll be put to death. But not for himself. He's not going to be put to death for himself. He's going to die for the sins of mankind. And the people of the Prince who is to come, the Prince under consideration here, is Titus, who destroys Jerusalem in 70 AD. And the people of the Prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, and till the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now, I went into an explanation of that because I wanted you to know that the Messiah is the Anointed One. John says, I'm not the Anointed One. I'm not the Messiah whom God said was going to come. I'm not the Messiah who is to come and give his life for the sins of mankind. I'm not the Messiah whom Daniel prophesied was going to come before the city of Jerusalem would be destroyed. I'm not the Christ. I am not the Messiah. In John 1 and in verse 41, he first found his own brother, that is Andrew. Found Simon Peter and said to him, we have found the Messiah, who is translated the Christ. Of course, he was speaking of Jesus. He's the Anointed One. He's the Messiah who is to come. John 4 and in verse 25, when Jesus is in Samaria and the woman is speaking to him at the well, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Well, this woman goes into the city and tells the inhabitants of the city, the man whom she has met has told her things about herself. Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? It could indeed be the Christ. Jesus was the Christ. He was the Messiah. Later on, the people would go out to meet him themselves, and they would confess that he was the Christ, the Messiah. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. John 9, in verse 22, Saul of Tarsus increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. In Acts 18, in verse 28, at Kararin, he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. So John says, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah who is to come. But why would they be asking him that? Because the people during this time expected the Christ to come. They expected the Messiah to come. They were waiting for the Messiah to come. That's why they're asking John if he is the Christ. But John says, I am not the Christ. Then they ask, what then? The question is, well, if you're not the Christ, who are you then? And then they began to put words in his mouth. Are you Elijah? He said emphatically again, I am not. Why would they ask if he is Elijah? Because the Old Testament prophets prophesied that Elijah was going to come before the Messiah came. Malachi 4 in verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. What day you suppose that is? That's the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. We read about it a few moments ago in Daniel chapter 9. the Messiah would come, the city would be destroyed. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Before judgment is coming upon the city of Jerusalem, Elijah is coming. And they want to know from John the Baptizer, who are you then? Are you Elijah? He is not Elijah. They were looking for the physical Elijah to come. Remember, we read about Elijah, the one who was a prophet of God, who actually was taken up into heaven in a whirlwind, in a fiery chariot, without dying. They expected the literal Elijah to come back to earth. But Elijah did come, but in a spiritual sense. Matthew 11 and verse 13, Matthew, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you're willing to receive it," and Jesus is speaking here, "he is Elijah who is to come." John the Baptizer was Elijah, but John the Baptizer said, "I am not Elijah." John the Baptizer didn't know he was the spiritual Elijah who was to come. Perhaps he may not have. But the people were expecting physical Elijah. They were expecting the same prophet Elijah that went into heaven. They were expecting him to come before the Messiah came. John is a spiritual Elijah. That is, he came in the spirit and character of the prophet Elijah, not the physical person himself. In Matthew 17 and in verse 10, "And his disciples asked him, saying, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Jesus answered and said to them, indeed Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist, that is, John the Baptizer. So the apostles understood that John the Baptizer was Elijah. Not the physical, same Elijah, but the one who came in the spirit and power of Elijah. In a spiritual sense, he was spiritual Elijah. That's why John denied when he says, "Are you Elijah?" "I am not." He wasn't the physical Elijah that was taken into heaven, but he was indeed a spiritual Elijah. Now, whether he knew that or not, we do not know. But Jesus declares him to be that Elijah who was promised to come. And then they ask, "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." "Are you the prophet?" "What prophet?" Well, God had promised he was going to send them a prophet. But not just a prophet, the prophet. Note that in the text. "Are you the prophet?" There was going to be one prophet whom God would send who would be recognized as the prophet above all prophets. They expected that prophet to come. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear," Moses said to the people of his day. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst." Verse 16, "According to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you, Moses, from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." That's the prophet they wanted to know from John the Baptizer. Are you the prophet that God promised to send? John 6 and in verse 14, "Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Was Jesus the prophet? During the time that he worked miracles, some said, "Indeed, this is the prophet." John the Baptizer wasn't the prophet like unto Moses. Jesus Christ was. In John 7, in verse 40. "Therefore many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, 'Truly this is the prophet.' Others said, 'This is the Christ.' And some said, 'Will the Christ come out of Galilee?'" Now note this. Some said he's the prophet. Some said he's the Christ. Back in our text under consideration, they asked John, "Are you the Christ? Are you the prophet?" The people did not know that the Christ and the prophet were the same ones. Do you see that? They thought the prophet who was to come, they didn't recognize and realize that the prophet who was to come was to be the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. They think they're different. Acts 3 and in verse 22 and following, though, we learn that Jesus Christ is indeed that prophet. "For Peter said, 'Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people.' So Peter, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says Jesus is that prophet. And Stephen, before he's stoned to death, also claims that Jesus is that prophet. Acts 7 and verse 37, "This is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear.'" Stephen says Jesus is the prophet. John the Baptizer wasn't the prophet. He wasn't the Christ. He wasn't Elijah. Those are the four questions that John gave a negative response to. Now let's note the questions that he gives an affirmative response or positive response to. Who are you? Well, if you're not the Christ, if you're not Elijah, if you're not the prophet, who are you then? They're tired of putting words in his mouth now. And they want him to speak for himself. They want him to tell them now who you are, who he is. Who are you? That is, who are you then? "That we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" Well, if you're not the Christ, if you're not the prophet, if you're not Elijah, we put those words in your mouth. If you're not the one whom we think you are, then who are you? Tell us yourself who you are. Identify who you are. But what we note is, we know that John does not come out and say, "Well, I'm the son of Zacharias and Elizabeth." He doesn't do that, does he? No. John knows exactly who he is, though, because he identifies himself with the Christ, the Son of God. He is emphatic about this. In his response to them, he said, "I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." He didn't say, "I'm the son of Zacharias and Elizabeth." No, he identifies himself with the Christ. He identifies himself with the Son of God. He knows who he is. This is a quote from Isaiah 40 in verse 3. "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.'" Now I want you to note this. I am the voice. Not I am the son of Zacharias, I am the voice. He simply identifies himself as the voice, as the one who declares and announces and heralds someone. And that's what he is. He is declaring, announcing, and heralding Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. This quote, Matthew 3 and in verse 1 and following, "In those days John the Baptizer came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Matthew, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, identifies John the Baptizer as that voice, as that person who is declaring, proclaiming, and announcing the coming of the Lord. He is the one. Note this in context, Isaiah 40 and verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Note that. Prepare the way of the Lord, Yahweh. Prepare the way for God. The word Lord, Yahweh. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God, Elohim. Same word, Genesis 1:26, where God said, let us make man in our own image. There's significance in that. Prepare the way of the Lord. John is preparing the way for God in the flesh. The preparation of the way is a highway or road that one would travel. During this particular period of time, armies of people would go before a king, preparing a highway for him to travel, chopping down trees, removing stones, removing rocks, making a way smooth for the dignitary to travel on. We do the same thing for our dignitaries. Just kind of a side note, when I was in the military one time, one of the presidents came to, it was Carter, wasted a lot of money. Came to Fort Hood, Texas to visit one time. We put on a great show for him with all the firepower we had. But in order to for him to see that, they went out. If you're familiar with Texas, some of the hills, most of them are flat around East Texas. They went up on top of one of those hills and paved a place for his helicopter to land and paved a place where he was going to be seated and put bleachers up there. They spent and wasted so much money on it that the population of that area was so upset that they had to bus people in to see it too. But it was a waste. But because of his status, that's what we do. That's what John the Baptizer was doing. He's preparing the way. He's preparing the way for deity. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord, the glory of Yahweh shall be, note this, revealed, made known, disclosed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So John the Baptizer is going to make a way. He is the voice, the one crying in the wilderness, declaring Jesus as the Son of God. Note that the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, disclosed, made known. John tells us in John 1 in verse 14, the Word, Jesus Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us. Note this, we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld His glory. Glory here means doesn't mean a splendor. It doesn't mean brilliance. Oftentimes we think of that in the Word. But the Word in this context has reference to dignity, honor, majesty, deity. We beheld His deity. We beheld His glory. As a matter of fact, when Jesus is at the tomb of Lazarus, he tells Martha or Mary, I forget which one, to stand by and to see the glory of God as he resurrects Lazarus from the dead. And through his resurrecting Lazarus from the dead, he displays his glory, he displays his dignity, majesty, his deity. And so his glory was beheld. His deity was beheld. It was revealed. It was made known. through the signs, miracles, and wonders that he performed. So what is your response to the primary question, who are you? Who are you? John says, well, I'm not the Christ, I'm not Elijah, I'm not the prophet. Well, let's make application. Who are you? Will you confess, declare openly and publicly that you're a Christian? Will you not deny it, but confess, that is, declare it openly and publicly, that you are a child of God? A Christian is one who believes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Without faith, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's what a Christian is. Will you confess that you're a Christian and that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Will you not deny it? A Christian is one who, in John 8:28, believes that Jesus is indeed the Christ. Jesus said, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe, note this, that I am, you will die in your sins. Now it's hard to note, but the he is in italics, been added by the translators. It means it's not there. Jesus literally says, I am. That's a title for God in the Old Testament scriptures. Jesus declares himself to be deity, the Son of God. If you do not believe that Jesus is deity, the Son of God, that which John the Baptizer revealed, made known, this is the Christ, the Son of God. We must believe it. A Christian believes that. John 20:30-31, we learn that this belief is the purpose of John writing his gospel account. Truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe. Note this, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So John wrote to cause people to believe that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, the Son of God, that is, deity. And that believing you may have life, where? In his name. The idea is in him, that is, in his person. Life, eternal life, is found in him and in no other place. A Christian is one who believes that. A Christian is one who believes it to the extent that he will repent of his sins. Acts 17:30, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord? Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, the idea is if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Acts 2:36, Peter said, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ, one supreme in authority. So if you'll confess with your mouth, there's the word confess in our text in John 1 that we're studying. Will you confess, not deny, but confess? Will you openly and publicly acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? Note this, you'll be saved. Why? For with the heart one believes unto, that is, with a view or in order to be made righteous, and with the mouth confession is made unto or in order to salvation. There is no salvation, and no one becomes a Christian without confessing, acknowledging openly and publicly that Jesus is the Son of God. In Acts 8:36, as Philip and the eunuch came down the road and came to a certain water, the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, note this, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made that confession openly and publicly, though there were only two present, himself and Philip. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. He immersed him for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name, that is by the authority of Jesus Christ. Why? Because He is Lord. For, in order to receive the remission of sins. So a Christian is one who hears, believes, repents, confesses, and is baptized for the remission of sins. What's your response to the question, who are you? Will you confess and not deny, but confess that you are a child of God, a Christian? Galatians 3 and in verse 26, the English Standard Version, I forgot to indicate that on the chart. For in Christ Jesus you're all sons of God through faith. You're children of God in Christ Jesus. How'd you get into Christ Jesus? You were baptized, Galatians 3:27, into Christ Jesus. What was the purpose of you being baptized into Christ Jesus? Because that's where life is. That's where you become a new creature. That's where you become a Christian. 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation or new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In Christ. Remember what we learned about being in Christ? You'll have life in Him. John 20 and verse 31. You'll believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and based upon that belief, you'll come to have life in Him when you believe, repent, confess, and are baptized. Because Paul said in Romans 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Where is life? In Jesus Christ. You get into Him by being baptized into Christ. Who are you? Are you a child of God? Are you a Christian? Will you openly and publicly declare that? If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, confess publicly and openly that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Based upon your confession, we'll baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. And then through your conduct day by day, openly declare and admit and acknowledge and assert that I am a child of God. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, please come as we sing the song that has been selected.